Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, TGIF. Dominic, the very final Devil's Advocates for 2022, baby.
What?
And we're doing it live. This is live. This is not a replay. Although later, if you listen to it on a replay, it might be a replay.
It might be a replay. Then, Crudy, happy almost New Year's to you, Evan, on the Board Our Fair audience. Great to be with you live.
You know, our buddy Rocker from Max Inc. Radio is going to join us here at 4:20, sort of the witching hour, if you will, Dom. Help you set up some New Year's Eve plans. You're going to rock out right here on the radio with the Civic Media crew, the Max Inc. Radio crew. He'll tell you all about it. Rocker coming soon. But Dom, today it's been an eagerly anticipated day. Trump tax revelations, they're out, baby.
Yeah.
And he also apparently issued a threat to many people. He's out threatening people.
As sounds only about the right. Yeah, it's Donald Trump. Of course, that's what he does. It'd be a shame, you know, if something happened.
Very presidential. And, you know, around here on this big program, we used to do a little feature. And it's kind of gone by the wayside. It's been far too long. And we often, and for a while there, it was daily, we would award the D-bag of the day. And I always felt it was a little coarse. You know, I wish we could have come up with a better term.
So sensitive, Crudy. I'm glad you eventually got over it. But there's so many reasons and so many people. And it just seems appropriate to identify for our audience. And, of course, we like it when they say something, too. But, yeah, we call them out. And there's some D-bags out there, and sometimes we need to name names.
So, Ebo, I'm going to need your help, man. We're going to play a little contest today, and we're going to need your help. You, the fair audience, need you to nominate your favorite candidates for D-bag of the year.
D-bag of the year 2022.
That'll happen in the 5 o'clock happy hour. We'll make the grandiose awarding. I think we need a trophy or something, but
we absolutely need a trophy.
You can participate all day long. You, the audience, are our fair guest at 844-967-2789.
Are we gonna throw out our nominees, or are we gonna wait till the end? I mean, how are we gonna do this? I know we're gonna kind of keep this running throughout the show, but at what point do we share ours? And do we get more than one? I have so many questions about this contest.
Well, let me first and foremost nominate you, you loudmouth. Let me get a few of the rules out here, a couple of the criterion. So you can throw it out whenever you want, man. Who's stopping you? But I was going to say that, you know, there are a few other things. And I've asked you a few of the questions. And you were so freaking crabby, man. You were considered, at least for a moment, for my D-bag of the year nominee.
You can't have me show up for class and give me homework 5 minutes before we start, man.
If I'd have given it to you a week ago, would it have been any different?
I would have had that much more time to procrastinate.
So anyways, Dom, blowing through your objections, best moment of 2022. You can throw yours out now if you got one. Best moment of 2022.
Nope. Drawn a blank, man.
That's easy.
What is it?
Tony Evers won re-election.
Oh, nice. Go Tony.
Okay.
I mean, this is This is the year of Tony, right? Didn't we? Was it Cap Times tell us?
Cap Times editorial said 2022 was the year of Tony Evers. Aren't they all dumb?
All right, let me throw out the worst. Let me tell you the worst. Was this the worst? I think it was the worst. Overturning Roe v. Wade.
I was going to say Ron Johnson. But Roe v. Wade. I think that's the overturning, the Dobbs decision, the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It was probably the worst moment, certainly for our female friends and family members and people that we care about. It had to be the worst moment of the year. I mean, it's the overturning of 50-year precedent. But Republicans, they don't care a lot about precedent, even though they said they did, but they didn't. I guess I overlooked the Roe v. Wade, and I don't mean to, but I thought the worst moment was the reelection of Ron Johnson.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
I know.
I kind of blame you, Dom.
No, not me. I mean, we didn't have him on this election cycle, so can't blame us. In some regards, Ron Johnson kind of financed his own campaign because he got that pass through that tax deduction for his main donors. And he gave them, over $250 million in one tax year. And they turn around and funneled $20 million to different groups to support Ron Johnson. I mean, that's less than a 10% finder's fee or commission. I mean, that's a pretty good damn deal.
Okay, Dom. Best interview of 2022.
Of our interviews?
Yeah.
I mean, because they're all so good. Let's see. I'm going to go with Tammy Baldwin. Senator Baldwin on just after the Respect for Marriage Act. Another stalwart here in Wisconsin doing great work. Our Senator Tammy Baldwin. That was just a month ago?
That was relatively recently. I was really asking in case we wanted to submit something for the WBA Awards.
Yeah.
We got second place for our prior interview of Ron Johnson. And I thought we killed it, but if you're listening from out of state, you'd think we're just, certainly you would not mistake us for some right-wing, righty-whitey talk radio product. We're far superior to that. But apparently a distant second to the talk stylings of Maggie Dawn.
Where's Maggie been?
She won the Crystal Trophy that year.
Yes, congratulations once again.
I've never
Trudy's
even seen
never going to forget about it.
No, because I've never seen the trophy. normally if you win a trophy, it's on behalf of the station. And then the station owner gets to at least go rub the trophy once or twice. I got the bronzed plaque in my office, the second place.
Nice. Got it on the wall or is it just on the desk?
Well, not on the wall anymore. It's laying on the desk. Okay. And our prior third place finish, Dom, you and I, were... We're a strong win placer show. Best interview of 2022. I like that. Tammy Baldwin. I concur. That was an excellent interview. If we do say so ourselves.
Yes, and you're welcome.
Dominic, I would like a bold prediction out of you for 2023. And we play along with the audience. And I've got one other thought. The best interview of 2022. It's yet to happen. It better be Rocker for Maxinc Radio. What comes next? That better be the best one. But we'll bring Rocker on here at 4:20. Bold predictions, Dom. I like me some bold predictions. How about you?
I got one, and it might be I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to throw it out there. You do what you want. If you like it, you can take it. If not, you throw it back to me. We'll see what happens here. We will see former President Donald Trump do a perp walk in 2023.
Ooh, that's pretty bold.
Yeah.
I think it's premature, but I think it's pretty bold. When you say a perp walk, you think that he literally will end up in handcuffs?
Yes.
Or just the booking when they take him downtown? Because
the booking will count, but indictment, yes. Perp walk, indictment, yes. That will happen.
I cannot envision the handcuff aspect. I just don't see him in handcuffs as a former president. He's a chubby guy. Is he really a flight risk? Is he going to run away?
Was Paul Manafort? What I'm saying? What are we talking about here? Yes, he deserves to be in handcuffs. I mean, I guess it depends on if you're going to be indicted for, call it seditious conspiracy and insurrection and violence, right? For example, I don't know if you want that guy's hands free. I mean, look at what he's done.
I think it is far more likely the Department of Justice, rather than, taking the perp in, I think it's far more likely they would negotiate a surrender with the Trump lawyers, if he can still find any in 2023. And Trump would come down for his fingerprinting and his mug shots.
Just like he came down the golden escalator when he announced he was running for president. He'll come down to get his fingerprints.
You effectively would have to at that point. When you've been indicted, yeah. It's that or we come and take you in handcuffs.
Right. Well, I mean, they did negotiate with the secret, top secret documents, right? A lot of negotiations. Hey, you can promise me they're all here, right? We got them all. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they didn't. And then they had to go get them. So, you know, Donald Trump might say he's showing up for the fingerprinting. He might say he's showing up for the indictment. But they may have to go get them.
Well, that's just a prelude to coming to get the guy down. I can tell you from my own personal experience. One of my youthful indiscretions back in college days, I got a call from the La Crosse Police Department, and the detective there, Brad Burke, I believe his name, something of the sort, said, "Mr. Crute, we'd like you to come down and answer some questions." And I said, "Okay, but if I don't like the tone of your questions, I'm going to ask to have a lawyer present." And Officer Brad said, "Why don't you bring your lawyer?"
Show up prepared. But you did show up. Did you show up with a lawyer? Why didn't you just not show up, man?
I did show up. I did do the time delay, but somewhere there is a booking photo of yours truly. I'm sure there is. Just one. I believe I've only booked once. You've been booked, haven't you?
I mean, it's hard to say.
Do a public record search? Somewhere up in Outagamie County.
Unjustly prosecuted. Persecution, I tell you.
You know, I had hair then. I wish I could find that mugshot.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Have you ever seen like a realtor's business card where they've still got the senior photo on there, and then you see him in person, you're like, who is that?
Glamour shots. That doesn't look at all like you, Crudy.
If I could only find the booking photo from my 20-year-old-ish... I was 20. Youthful indiscretion.
Yeah, 30 years ago. That's a long time, man.
I might use that as my professional photo.
No one will recognize you.
Tom DeLay, have you seen his mugshot? Stellar. Suit, boutonniere.
Smiling.
Smiling, happy. Very professional, very respectable. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. No one ever accused us of being respectable. Just funny, hopefully funny. Come back. We got fine guests. The best interview of 2022. With Rocker from Max Inc. Radio. He's next. More Devils.
Papa's got a brand new D-bag.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the 420 break. Join us at the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, it was about a year ago at this time. We were going on the airwaves on WAUK 540 AM and the Shaw 101.1 FM. It's been a year, man. Celebrating a
really?
Birthday.
Wow.
Like on Monday, we'll celebrate. Got lots of stuff to do next year. But, Don, we got a fine party. Got to celebrate the New Year's Eve this year. Got to find guests with me. Some predict this will be the best interview of 2022. We got Rocker from Max Inc. Radio. How you doing, Rocker?
How you doing, Rocker? Gritty? What's happening, Don?
You're having it, baby. I hear we got a party going on, man. I like the party.
Oh, man. We decided to have a party because, you know, New Year's Eve fell on the Max Inc. Radio night. And, you know, our show naturally ends at midnight, so it just seemed logical to just have a big party on the radio and maybe even add a few special twists to everything. We're going to do the entire show live at a remote location called thespaceship.tv. And it's a local TV studio, so we're going to add a video component to our show this Saturday night, tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, 6 p.m. to midnight, and we'll be interviewing the bands, and then all the bands will be performing for 1 hour sets that we'll broadcast live on the Civic Media Radio Network all over Wisconsin, plus at thespaceship.tv, which is a high quality stream, video and audio. And,
nice.
We're going to provide that for free for everybody for the night. And we're going to have three amazing bands.
Three great bands. Do they include Ironplow?
No, but I did try, Trudy. I did try.
Try to book yourself for that one.
Yeah, you? Oh, you know, I'd have to do it. But no, we're going to have three bands that have actually all played at Atwood Fest in the past. So they're really high quality bands. The Civil Engineers, who've been around the Madison area for at least a decade. We're talking Molly Fish is the vocalist. Amazing. They have a horn section. It's R&B, soul, blues, jazz. It's going to be a really good show.
Could they rename for one night only the Civic Engineers?
Possibly. We could talk to them about that. Great band. They'll be 7 o'clock, 7 to 8 p.m. And then we'll interview some bands again. And then at 9 p.m., Linda and the Zeros, another amazing band with a horn section. Linda is just a vibrant, electrifying. She had an amazing set at Atwood Fest last year, dazzled the audience. She is just on fire.
Didn't I get to introduce her to the stage?
I think that was Terry Barr who did that one, but I'm trying to remember where it was that you introduced.
Red Hat, this guy, maybe?
Yeah, yeah,
I'm pretty
yeah.
sure I was there, but go ahead.
And then to top it all off, originally from Appleton, they're Lawrence University students, Porky's Groove Machine. And Porky's Groove Machine, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but each character in the band is different. There's a banana, there's a cheerleader, a unicorn, a superhero. They have a little bit of everything, and an amazing singer in Shasta. And they are going to have some special kind of countdown to the midnight hour, which is it's going to be an amazing show. We'll be there, Terry, Jimmy, and me, Rocker. And we'll be hosting the show live from the spaceship.tv. And it promises to be a great show because the spaceship is super high quality. And what they are is they're like an online music venue. And so what they do is they have shows that they put on, concerts, and they kind of started up during the lockdowns, though it was already in plans. But during the lockdowns, you had a lot of people moving to streams and moving online. Yeah. But people didn't have the super, super high quality. Well, Dustin over at the spaceship.tv, people might remember him as the sound man up at the Frequency, a bar up by the Capitol, and that was all his gear. And so he has created this place called The Spaceship, which is a TV studio, an audio studio, a recording studio, all in one, tons of cameras, and it's wired like a spaceship. Literally, when you're there at the control room, it's like being on the Spaceship Enterprise.
That's Houston, cool. We Rocker, have a problem.
Is there going to be an opportunity for the public to come physically down to the spaceship?
No.
Or does this have to be on streaming?
This is strictly online. So the party's going to be brought, you know, to your living room. You can listen to us on the Civic Media Radio Network stations, AM, FMs all over Wisconsin, plus the Civic Media app. And, of course, you can tune in to thespaceship.tv, and then you'll be able to check that out. And later on, it'll be available podcast and all that good stuff. And, of course, at midnight, the show will start over again at 6 p.m. so people can relive the entire experience all the way till 6 in the morning.
In case you didn't get enough.
That's right.
Get a little more, Rocker.
But it's going to be a dance party, you know, in your living room.
And then we'll replay it on Sunday night after the Packer game.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it's after the brilliant Packer game where they're going to beat the crap out of the Vikings.
That's your bold prediction for 2023?
No, it's just reality, Crudy. I mean, there's no prediction.
Rocker, MaxSync Radio, you guys have been rocking out for us for a couple years at least here on 92.7 from what we consider the mothership right here, Devil Radio. And now, this year, all across the Civic Media Network, you play out on Saturday nights, I think almost all the non-country stations, I think. So,
that's apropos.
Rocker, this has been a big year for you guys, and next year, 2023, is the party going to continue, my friend?
Oh, boy. Crudy, we're going to be planning a whole lot more on remote shows and live shows and events and other nights of the week, too. Fridays, we're planning a lot of stuff, and it's all going to include local music And it may just include some other cities around Wisconsin. We may be stepping out a little bit. So, you know, we'll have to see. There's a lot of things coming down the pike. But I know that Max Inc. Radio will be always very exciting. And we always have great new interviews and music. And, you know, one of the great things when you listen to Max Inc. Radio, you always hear music you've never heard before because it's local, right? It's not on any other, you know, radio station, certainly not across Wisconsin.
Can I pick my favorite song of 2022, although it's probably not new, my favorite local song, the Booty Song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Rocker. Tune in Saturday night, New Year's Eve. The party begins 6 to midnight right here. Keep it locked. Civic Media, Devil Radio.
What, Seahorse Seashell Party? Who didn't invite me?
You are a madman.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Last live show of the year. Having fun with you on the phones. Time to get to the callers. And our buddy Rocker from Max Inc. Radio gave you some New Year's Eve plans. Don't even have to leave the house to rock out. So anyways, keep it locked right here, Civic Media, on the app, or turn on your local radio station, 92.7 Devil Radio. That's the mothership as far as I'm concerned. And Dom, I'm here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Rename that for 2023. Thanks to our friend Darcy Haber and her team over at Solidarity Realty. And Dom, we got some big awards to hand out today, and we need some nominees, including, and Ebone, I hope you're paying attention. I don't think he is. He's not. Clearly he's not. He's talking to Rocker. Rocker obviously distracting our producer at this point. A couple of the thoughts for 2022, perhaps the best moment of 2022, maybe the worst moment, and most importantly, Dom, your nominees for D-Bag of the Year 2022. We'll get to that since there is no sound effects because that would require a proactive
Come
producer.
On, man. We work so hard for the sound effects. We got sound effects.
844.
I have full confidence.
967-2789. I might have a new nominee, Dom.
D-Bag of the Year 2022.
So let's get to the nomination process. Someone not on the staff here. Because I'm kind of playing round robin at this point.
You're up next, Critty. I'm sure there'll be a reason. We can always find a reason.
It'll be my turn in the barrel soon. 844-967-2789. Joanne from Madison. Welcome, Joanne. What do you got for us?
Hi, Joanne.
Great show. My nomination for D-Bag of the Year, or Train Wreck of the Year, of course, is Elon Musk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I know, I'm taking everybody else's thunder. I know that's the first person we're all thinking about. But we're trying so hard to get, as educators, to get our young people to study technology and to get into science and all of that. And if you land up like Elon, God help you. That's all I have to say. Thanks so much. Great show.
You know what's interesting, Joanne? I think Elon or whatever they call him, has exposed that the billionaire class is really not better or brighter than the rest of us. He's just more arbitrary. He's just got enablers, apparently, that keep him from breaking things. And he didn't have the guardrails in place over at Twitter. And he's just, he's halved his $44 billion investment. He's cut in half in a matter of a couple months. I mean, that takes brilliance, Joanne.
Well, people built Twitter. I mean, all of these folks who put so much of their volunteer effort, you know, there are Saturday evenings, Sunday evenings, you know, spare time into making it a wonderful place. He's just cut through this. He says, I own this. No, he doesn't own that. We own that, you know, the people who've been working on it for so long. But no, don't want to get political and all that. He's just a D-bag, train wreck, whatever. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Joanne.
Joanne, very, very thoughtful in that regard. You know,
Maybe there's just so many D-bags to nominate. Elon didn't come to the top of my head. Maybe I'm thinking politically, but I think a great nominee. Thank you, Joanne.
Well, it's great to think that anyone has surpassed Donald Trump, how he was not the obvious first choice in everyone's mind. Elon Musk has been trying really hard.
Yeah, he's a really trier,
Dom.
And I think he's earned. He has absolutely earned that nomination, D-Bag of the Year for 2022. Again, we want to hear your nominees, 844-967-2789.
Are we sure E-Bone's answering the phones back there? Is he answering? Okay, just check it. Just check
he
it,
He promises. E-Bone. He promises.
Dominic, I don't know if you saw, but the former president, you know, I think he should at least be nominated for D-Bag of the Year.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a always nominated, you know what I mean? Yes, of course, we can always go to Trump. It's kind of like low-hanging fruit, though. You know, yes, Trump's always there. But we got there's got to be some others that are worthy of such a claim.
Well, here's why perhaps Donald Trump should be considered, because there is some new revelations. I'm going to read from the Raw Stories coverage thereof. Matthew Chapman wrote this up. On Friday, CNN reported that former President Donald Trump had a top aide ask his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, whether it be possible to trademark the phrase, rigged election, just days after the presidential election was called for Joe Biden in 2020. If you can't make some money off it, what good is it, Dom?
Exactly.
The information was revealed in emails provided by Kushner, an advisor to the Trump White House, and released as part of the final batches of transcripts from the House January 6th Select Committee. Here's a quote, Tom. On November 9th, 2020, then Trump aide Dan Scavino emailed Kushner, Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, with the request from Trump, reported Tierney Sneed and others. Hey, Jared. POTUS wants to trademark own the rights to below. I don't know who to see or ask. I don't know who to take to. You know, like when someone proposes something really crazy, but he's the president of the United States, who do you go ask? Apparently, it could only be Jared. So anyways, Scafino, who's a true believer by all indications, Dom, goes to Jared with the big ask. Anyways, Jared's testimony to the committee, which was released by panel on Friday. Two phrases were bolded in the email. Here are the two things that Donald Trump wanted to trademark, Dom. Save America PAC! Exclamation point. And rigged election! Exclamation point. Kushner forwarded the request and discussed it on an email chain that included Eric Trump, the president's son, Alex Cannon, a Trump campaign lawyer, Sean Dolman, the chief financial officer of Trump's 2020 campaign, and Justin Clark, a Trump campaign lawyer, who said the report, knowing that Kushner wrote, guys, can we do ASAP, please? You know, can we please make the unreasonable come true? Because my father-in-law is asking. Ultimately, and I find this ironic, Tom, ultimately, Eric Trump responded back that web domains for both of those terms were already taken. How low is the former president's son that like 10 different people have to email chain each other and say the president wants to trademark rigged election, and Eric Trump is the guy who's got to go Google rigged election and find out, no, someone already went to GoDaddy. And then he's got to go back
to his
daddy.
But he's also
daddy.
Eager to please, man. You know, he daddy wants something. Eric will step up for you, Dad. I'm here for you.
Can I have a hug, Dad, please? Please, Dad. The committee ultimately released a scathing final report accusing Trump of being central to inciting the attack on the U.S. Capitol and heavily involved in the illegal plots to overturn the vote, and referred Trump to the Justice Department on four proposed criminal charges. You know, Dom's bold prediction for next year, a perp walk for Donald Trump. Like to hear yours, 844-967-2789. Maybe we should simplify the phone number next year. Like 111-111-111.
844-96-PARTY, man. It doesn't get any easier than that. We've been doing it for 11 years. Why do you keep forgetting the number, man?
Short-term memory loss. Can't tell you why.
It's been a long time. In the same vein, perhaps we should follow, you know, Trump's advice here. It's not, you know, trademarking rigged election, but, you know, the greatest radio show ever. I don't think we can do the Devil's Advocates. That's, you know, everyone knows the Devil's Advocates. But the greatest radio show ever? I mean, that could be something.
.us? You know, someone's out there stealing your good idea right now.
Yeah, well, you know, story of my life. But what does this say about Trump's state of mind, though, right? If you were so concerned, so very concerned about a rigged election and it being stolen from you, would your one of your first thoughts be to, God, can I trademark that so I can make some money off of it?
I mean, merchandising! Where the real money from the movie's made. If you're Donald Trump and most of your positive income actually comes from trademarking your name and likeness, Tom, that's the first thing you think. I got to make a t-shirt.
He didn't believe it.
Well, I don't believe that he believed it. No, you're right. You got more?
Also.
Also, what? There's
also,
more?
No, the transcripts. I mean, again, this is a Friday before New Year's Eve, and I know there's not a lot of live radio going on, but we're doing it because this matters. We want to bring it to you. CNN also reporting on Jenny Thomas, and this was one I was waiting for, so at least it was released. Now, this was an interview. It was not under oath. But CNN has some notes here. She's a conservative activist and wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Yes.
Before you get to Jenny Thomas, I've got just a little more on Jared Kushner.
Oh, you do?
Jared apparently was the one that broke the news of the loss to Donald Trump. And we've got the transcripts as that's being described. I'd like to throw that out briefly and then on to Jenny Thomas. Dominic, on Friday, Newsweek reported the newly released transcripts from the House J6 Select Committee revealed that former President Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, a key advisor in the Trump White House, testified about the former president's reaction when he was first told he lost the election. Right? This goes to the heart of the matter. Did he believe it, that it was a rigged election? You know, the thing he wanted to get trademarked. Here is how it's being reported, Tom. Specifically, Jared claims he barely reacted at all. On Friday, Washington Examiner reporter Cami Mondau tweeted a transcript showing testimony of Kushner's responses to the committee about Trump's reaction moment he learned he lost his re-election campaign. When asked about Trump's emotional response upon learning of his loss, Kushner said he didn't remember that the former president had one. Specifically, Kushner said of Trump, I felt like he wasn't really showing his cards in the sense that he was just taking the information and going back to what he was doing. Asked if he could tell if Trump was surprised by the result, Kushner simply said, I don't know.
I don't know. You think he'd be a little mad, right? Some emotion, but again, I mean, Trump knew. And the Republicans knew, you know, think back, it seems so obvious, Trump failing miserably on his reaction to the pandemic. Of course, the economy went into the tank under Trump's watch. He did sign some legislation that allowed for some, you know, funding to go to the people. Let's not forget that. Republicans, when you get all mad about it, and a lot of Republicans cashed those checks. But Trump, you know, Trump was just a terrible president. He was a terrible president. The economy was terrible under Trump. If you recall, once again, a Democratic president had to clean up the mess from the last guy. And I get it. You know, you kind of inherit a pandemic. What do you do? Well, you could have done some things different. And if you believe some of the statistics and the articles that are out there, perhaps Trump's lack of action could have killed a million of his own followers. But I digress. Trump knew back in the early days when he was telling Bob Woodward about how dangerous the virus was, of course, playing an entirely different role to us. He knew it was bad, and he knew it was bad, and he downplayed it specifically because he understood that this would be a weight against him in his reelection. So he wanted to downplay it as much as he could to have so it wouldn't have the impact that he hoped it would not have. Well, of course, that wasn't the case. You can't do that. The virus doesn't give a damn what your political ambitions are. It goes around no matter who. So Donald Trump knew it. Then he was preparing himself, not only himself, but us, planting the seed corn in early spring, hell, late winter, February, March, before the election. Oh, if we do mail-in ballots, we'll never win another election again. We can't trust this. You know, all those things. Where did this come from? Well, it started back then. Well, he was laying down the groundwork. And he knew he was going to lose. And Republicans knew he was going to lose. I can't believe they thought that he was going to win. Can't believe he got as many votes as he did. But the goal, if you're going to go to the state of mind and you see what he said leading up to it, you see what his reaction was when he was told. And, of course, you see the conspiracy with the fraudulent electors and the pressure campaigns on state and local officials. It all points to one very simple thing. Donald Trump and his crew tried to usurp the power in this country, tried to overturn the will of the people. And most people don't like that.
And that's why he's nominated for D-Bag of 2022. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. More of your phone calls. 844-9-
Let's go. Party Rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a good time.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Everybody just have a good time.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show every day. We're shuffling at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm shuffling through some of the reporting accounts of the January 6th transcripts newly released. Found some over at the CNN, Dom. Key findings from the latest January 6th panel transcripts, including from Don Jr. and others. But I want to turn to Fredo, if you will. Don Jr., Dom. Donald Trump Jr. explains why he texted Mark Meadows on November 5th about plans to keep his dad in office. Donald Trump Jr. told the committee the reason he texted Meadows a detailed plan about how to ensure his father would get a second term 2 days after the 2020 presidential election was because he thought the ideas were, according to the transcript, the most sophisticated. And they sounded plausible. Trump Jr.'s testimony revealed by the Select Committee yesterday provides new context to a text message CNN first reported on in April, where he lays out various ideas for keeping Trump in power by subverting the Electoral College process. Yeah, a little procedural coup, Dom. The November 5th text message outlines a strategy that is nearly identical to what allies of the former president attempted to carry out in the months that followed. Trump Jr., Fredo as I like to call him, Dom, makes specific reference to filing lawsuits and advocating recounts to prevent certain swing states from certifying their results, as well as having a handful of Republican state houses put forward slates of, let's just call them, fake Trump electors. If all that failed, according to Trump Jr.'s text, GOP lawmakers in Congress could simply vote to reinstall Trump as president on January 6, 2021. How'd that day turn out? This is a quote from the transcript. We have operational control, total leverage, the message rings. Moral high ground, POTUS must start second term now. Although Trump Jr. said that he was not the original author of the text, a point his lawyer made to CNN back in April, and that he did not remember who was the original author of the message, he explained to investigators why, out of all the messages he was being sent all the time, he felt this one was necessary to pass on to Meadows. Here's his quote. Perhaps in reading it, it was the most sophisticated, you know, and detailed, and again, about things I don't necessarily, you know too much about.
It's the most honest thing you've ever said, Junior.
But it sounded plausible, and I wanted to make sure that we were looking into issues brought up in the text, Trump Jr. said. Dominic Meadows did not initially respond to the original November 5th text, but when Trump Jr. followed up the next day to make sure he saw, so not only did he find that one, he followed up on that one when Meadows didn't respond. Trump's then chief of staff texted, "Much of this had merit. Working on this for Pennsylvania, so Pennsylvania, Georgia, and North Carolina are ready." It was all part of the plan.
That's all part of the plan. And Junior probably got an update because he doesn't recall from whom, which I'm sure, if the Department of Justice was so inclined, they could track down. And these are cell phones. These are messages, little pings. They don't go away. You can find that information if you want to. I don't know, man. I think a lot of this testimony under greater scrutiny from the DOJ instead of under oath to a congressional committee would provide greater detail than I think we're getting from some of these witnesses.
Well, Trump Jr., Fredo, if you will, Dom, you know, got the weak short-term memory when it comes to what he said or did the morning of the January 6th. Here's a little bit more of the reporting from CNN. Trump Jr. said he didn't know Turning Point Action paid him and his fiancée, Kimberly Guilfoyle, $30,000 each for their appearance at the rally at the White House Ellipse. Didn't know I got $30,000. I mean, that'll buy a kilo or more, won't it, Dom? He said he thought the money was for an event at the Palm Beach Hilton in December, according to a transcript released on Thursday. Is he such a wanted man that he gets $30,000 here, $30,000 there? Right. Show up at the party.
He didn't memo it, right? What is this for exactly again?
My recollection was that we had spoken for them prior to Christmas at an event. We did annually and always got sort of paid for speaking fees to show up, Trump Jr. said. Then some cocaine and some green M&Ms, allegedly, Dom. In transcripts of their interviews with the House Select Committee, Trump Jr. and his new wife, Kimberly Guilfoyle, repeatedly said they didn't recall details and distanced themselves from events that led to the January 6th attack. Trump Jr. told the committee investigators, "I don't recall specifically," when asked if he ever received the $30,000, and "I don't know," when asked if Guilfoyle ever ended up getting paid. Throughout their testimony, Trump Jr. and Guilfoyle said they didn't remember specific conversations about rally planning and that they were in the dark about the particulars that were being put together. Guilfoyle also denied having conversations with anyone linking the rally to objections to Congress certifying Joe Biden's electoral win. What the hell were they rallying about then, Kimberly? Here's the quote. "I was not involved in any of that certification stuff. I couldn't even explain it to you to this day," she said, adding that she didn't know the significance of holding the rally on January 6th. I would point out, Kimberly Guilfoyle is a lawyer. She's not a rock just because she dates Don Jr.
She's Are you lawyer, suggesting, I'm pretty sure. Curdy, that perhaps they did remember and they were less than truthful in their sworn testimony to the January 6th committee?
I'm saying maybe. Maybe. But I'd bet on it. I'm doing a Google right now, man.
All right. Oh, well, on that as well, I know we got to go to a break here shortly, but let's throw this one out there. Lindsey Graham. "Just give me five dead voters," also from CNN. "After the 2020 election, Graham pledged to become a champion of them President Trump's election fraud claims, if only Trump's advisors would give him information about dead voters," according to an account given to the January 6th committee. Senator Graham was saying, "Give me your information," Trump lawyer Christina Bob relayed to the committee about what Graham said in meetings days before the January 6th insurrection. "Just give me five dead voters," Bob said Graham told then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and others in Meadows' office at the White House. "Give me, you know, an example of illegals voting. Just give me a very small snapshot that I can take and champion," Bob added, relaying what Graham said at the time. The exchange with Graham highlights how the South Carolina Republican became involved in Trump's pressure campaign to overturn his election loss in Georgia and how the White House at the time was connecting with influential politicians to advance Trump's message of false election fraud claims. Graham was like, "Oh, I'd love to support the cause. I think it would be great to, you know, really show all the fraud. Send me a memo and show me, you know, what information you've got. I'll champion it." Bob also recalled from the conversation with Graham. According to a grand transcript of Bob's House testimony released on Thursday, Graham received a memo from the legal team working with Trump titled "Chairman Graham Dead Votes Memo for Your Consideration." Bob said he did nothing with it. Graham's office pointed out on Thursday that in the book Peril by Woodward, they previously described a similar exchange between Graham and the Trump advisors after receiving their memo. The senator was unconvinced of the fraud they claimed.
More Devil's Advocates, Hour 2, the Happier Happy Hour, last one of the year. Jenny Thomas's quote from the transcripts, "I admit it." What'd she admit?
I'll tell you. Come back.
Yeah.